Last week we learned the Gemara Chulan Daf Kuf Yud Beis Amud Aleph going over to Amud Beis. So we discussed the din. Let's say I have a piece of flesh that's so big, gigantic, 2 feet by 2 feet, and as much salt as I'm going to put on all six sides, top and the bottom, the four sides are room and arum, but the salt is not going to affect the inside of the piece of meat. It's going to be full of dam there. So the halacha says that that's okay, as long as you salt the meat, and whatever dam comes out, whatever is left behind is called moel habasa. And the Gemara says,
When the meat is kosher, she puts the salt on the meat.
The salt
takes out the blood.
Salt takes out the blood that's on the surface. But if you have a piece of meat like this, So it'll take out the top inch and a half, an inch and a half around the side, and all the piece inside will not be affected. People who are not allowed to have salt, so how do they eat flesh? So they salt a piece of meat like this, and then they cut out the middle piece of meat. It's absolutely not affected at all. Mm-hmm. So the mamash eating all the blood. So isn't it an isa dam? So the answer is no. That's the halacha. If you salt the meat or if you broil the meat, and the dam comes out, so there, whatever is left behind, there's an awful lot of dam left behind. Whatever is left behind is labeled as the juice of the meat, the moel habosa, the juice of the meat, and that's mutter. That's the same din dam shebishlo we discussed. In min haTorah we paskin. There are more for sure paskins like that. The dam shebishloi ain't over alof. That's kuf tes amud aleph. The bottom line in the Mishnah, dam that's mevushal is mutam and ater. It's only awesome in the rabban. Mechaber in Shulchan Aruch Rabbi Yosef Karo. That's a question among the Sfardish Achren and what he paskins. Whether he paskins dam shebishloi and isa derais and isa derabban and afkamina for sveikus. But there are more paskins for sure. The dam shebishlo is only the rabban. Why? Why is it only the rabban? So the Gemara says because dam shebishlo is not roi lizrika al gabi hamizbech. The Torah prohibits us from eating dam because ani nesata lechem ala mizbech lechaper. The Rabban Shalom wants us. The dam is reserved for the mizbech. Same thing. Chelev. Chelev is reserved to be makriv on the mizbech. So even though that's only chelev of karbanis, and dam of karbanis is reserved. But we're eating chulim and not eating karbanis, and then you're eating achaya. You're drinking the dam of a chicken. The chicken is never korev on the mizbech. It's not even only Torah mebin ayodin can be brought on the mizbech. Other birds cannot be brought. So nonetheless, that's what it says in Chumash. Ki adam hu hanefesh, v'ani nesat av lechem al mizbech lechaper. So the reason why we're not allowed to have chelev and dam because it's supposed to be reserved for the mizbech. So if the Gemara says in Menachos. The dam shebishloi, if you zerk it on the mizbech, you're not yotze the mitzvah. You have to be zerk the dam, raw dam. If you cook it, it's not royal izrika. So because not royal izrika, so in the mele, there's no isa deraisa. That's how the Gemara develops the idea.
Is openly in the dofen of the kli of dam, by definition, only midrabbanim?
Right, what by definition, going to be dam shebishloi. What?
Would be kavash kumavushal, would that also be the Rama holding that?
That's a discussion in Shulchan Aruch. What about dam shemolchoi? If you salt the meat, so the dam that comes out through melicha is dam shemolchoi, so maliach kivaseach.
That's what I'm saying. If
I'm not mistaken, I think that's two opinions in the Shulchan Aruch, in the Mechaber and the Shulchan Aruch. Whether you say kovish kemevushal just means it makes a bliya, or kovish kemevushal is considered mamish like mevushal. That's a big machlaikas. You see, we have a din. There's a beferish gemara. Esrig hamavushal is puzzle. You can't be yotze the mitzvah if you cook the esrig. So what if you soak the esrig in a container of water for 24 hours? That's a beferish gemara. That esrig hakovush is also puzzle. So that's what they ask. How could there be a machlekes in Shulchan Aruch where the kovush kemavushal only means that it makes a bliya if something is soaking in liquid, kosher food, betrefa food? Kavish kemevushal just means it makes a bliya. It means more than that. It's mamish considered kemevushal. Nafkemine, will it be called dam shebishloi? How can it be a machlekes? It's a beferish gemara that esrik hamevushal is puzzle. What's the problem? What is it balea? What's the problem if the esrik is balea something? So you see, mefurusha, we assume kavish kemevushal means it's like mevushal. So the dam shebishloi should carry over to dam shekavish. If you have dam, that's kavish in water. It should be kavish kamavushel. Should be only an isa derabanan. Should be an isa derabanan. So when you have dam shed bishloi, the Ramah paskins is mutam and atar. It's only asam rabanan. Why is it mutam and atar? Again, because we declare it's moel habasa. Dam is always a problem. When he says dam, when is it moel habasa? Take for example, dam evarm shalot pirish. We learned Tosis had an often a gemara. If you have a raw piece of meat, even a raw piece of liver that covered is kula dam. If you have a raw piece of meat that you didn't salt, you're allowed to eat it the way it is. You just have to wash off the dam on the surface. Why are you allowed to eat it the way it is? Because the blood that's in the capillaries, the way it stands now, it's called moel habosa. If you squeeze it out, then it becomes, then it's considered dam. Or if you cook it, if you have a whole pot full of dam and you cook it, then all of it is called moel habosa. The same halacha. Dam shebishla is called moel habasar, and dam ivarm shelo pirish is called moel habasar. And if you have a big piece of meat and you salted it, in the middle it was absolutely not affected at all. So whatever, once you salted the meat or you broiled the meat, how much dam comes out when you broil the meat? Half of the dam comes out, half of the dam remains. The halacha says that the dam that remains is mutter. We label it as moel habasar. What? Yes. Yeah. Right, so here on Kuf Yud Beis Amad Aleph, we learned it last week. So the Gemara says on Kuf Yud Beis Amad Aleph that they would broil the flesh, and then the piece of flesh would have a lot of dam left. So the Gemara says Rava would eat, Rava Ochale is about 10 lines from the bottom, and it has the letter Chof. So it says Rava Ochale, Rava used to eat that. The blood that was left, the moel habasa, what we call the juice of the flesh, the korele chamar basar. He used to call it the juice of the flesh, or chamar is the wine of the flesh, the best part. So Rabbi says that it's mutter, that's how he paskan. Then you look on Amid Beis, so the Gemara has on the third line, Amar Shmuel, and Kuf Yud Beis Amid, Amar Shmuel, kikesh shechatoch al habasar, asa liyachla. If you have a piece of meat that you salted or that you broiled, I broiled a piece of meat, then after broiling it, so all the dam goes out, whatever's left behind is moel habasar. So Shmuel says, if you take that piece of meat, that you're allowed to eat it the way it is, but you put it on top of a loaf of bread, kikir is a challah, a loaf of bread, and I cut it with a knife, since some of the blood is going to be squeezed out when you cut with a knife, you're applying pressure. There's a duch kid sakina. Some of the blood will be squeezed out and will go into the piece of challah. So you're not allowed to eat that challah.
Meat was already kashrut.
Yeah, meat was already broiled. So why is it awesome to eat it? The Gemara asks. Why is it awesome to eat it? So the Gemara says, shiny awesome. That's a different story. Gab duch kid sakina, because you're applying pressure, you're pushing a knife. So pull it, it's going to squeeze out more. What do you mean pull it? Let's say I salted a piece of meat, or I broiled a piece of meat. Or I salted a piece of meat so gigantic, I cut out the middle piece. Like that's what people who have conditions, medical conditions, not allowed to have salted meat. So they take such a piece of meat in the middle. Then they're going to cook it in a pot. So of course it's going to be full of dam. All the dam is going to go out, going to go back in. It's going to be dam. It's going to be bishla. It'll only be the rabbanon. Okay, it'll only be bishla. But still, it'll be dam evarm shapirish. The blood is going to go out of the piece into the liquid, into the roitev. Then it's going to go back into the flesh. So what's to prevent it from going out and going back in? So what does Shmuel say that it's also to drink it? It's astira. How can it's a machloikish Shmuel and Rava? Rava says Rava used to eat it and used to call it. That's the best part of the flesh. Chamar basar. This is the wine. This is the best part of the flesh. And Shmuel says you're not allowed to eat. How can it be that you're not allowed to eat it? So some of the Rishonim say that Shmuel is only Mishum Marisai. The Isser of Dam, the Mishnah say the prohibition of Dam applies to Behema Chai V'yoyf. You have to salt chickens and you have to salt flesh.
But Viking, the old time used to Viking, used to soak the meat in the water.
Yeah. The dinners, first you have to soak it and then you have to, first you have to soak it and then soak it for half an hour or so. Now. And then you have to let it dry off. Mm-hmm. A lot of the butchers, they used to make a mistake. They used to salt the meat. Then they used to soak the meat. Then they used to throw the salt on when it was sopping wet. So you put on the salt when it's sopping wet. The water is going to dissolve all of the salt. You have to have coarse salt. It shouldn't be dissolved. You can't pour liquid salty water on top of fish. A lot of people made a mistake. A lot of private people in the butcher shops used to make the mistake. So Gemara says later, you have to soak. Without vacuum, you have to first soak the piece of meat, to remove all of the dam on the surface and to soften the meat, that it should be able to get the blood out by salting. Then you salt it for half an hour, and then you wash it off again to wash off all of the dam.
Who does this now?
The butcher. Okay. The butcher.
Not in the Beit Mitzvahim?
No, the butchers. So this requirement to salt only applies to flesh or to chicken or to venison. Let's say you're eating deer's meat. Also, dama b'chaya, dam b'hemachay b'yofizos, dama b'fish is mutter. You catch a fish, you buy a fish in the store, you don't have to remove all of the dam. Dam from dogim is mutter legamri. But nonetheless, it's a gemara that mishum arisayin. Let's say I take a fish and I squeeze out all of the blood in a cup, and then I drink a cup full of blood. It looks almost the same. Looks the same as regular blood from a behemachai v'yayif. So that's also mishum arisai. Or the Gemara says that dam mahal cheshtayim. Human beings are called mahal cheshtayim. We walk on 2 feet. Behemoths walk on 4 feet. So the Gemara's lashon is dam mahal cheshtayim is mutter. Blood of a human being is kosher. That's why they used to accuse the Jews of using Christian blood in the matzahs, and the Jews said, how can it be? We don't eat any blood. It's not true, because human blood is mutter menater. It's only us and the Rabbanon. So b'maka mitzvah, maybe it's mutter. Maybe you are allowed to use Christian blood for the matzah. Of course, the late son is. Who would ever use it?
Nobody's recording this.
So the din is, let's say a person is eating an apple, and he has a problem with his gums, and some of the blood comes out onto the apple. So he's not allowed to eat the blood on the apple. He has to wash it off. What do you do if you have blood? You're bleeding. How do you eat a sandwich? How do you eat an apple? So you have to cut up the apple into tiny pieces and then put a piece at a time. You know that you're swallowing blood that's in your gums, in your mouth. That's okay. Dam of a human being is kosher. But once it came out of your mouth on the sandwich, or it came out of your mouth on the apple, then you're not allowed to put it back in to eat it. Because man is still in your mouth. There is no marisain. If it comes out, it's awesome. So that's what the Rashba quotes this when they write it from other Rishonim. That just like there's an Iser Mishum Arisai, not to eat a cup full of dam dogim, if you eat the fish with the dam, that's at the gum, and there's no Marisai. But if you collect a cup full of dam of dogim, it's an Isha Marisai. And just like dam ha'odam is at the gum, or even with the Rabbanon, if kozman, it's inside your mouth. But if it already spritzed out on the sandwich or on the apple, then you're not allowed to eat it. You have to wash off the apple.
You
have
to.
Marisayin, we assume, is only with the Rabbanon. Yeah. It depends if it's real marisayin, if it's a real. Someone's really going to think that I'm eating blood, so that may be an Issa deraisa. The Mishnayis and Shviyas learn out the principle of marisayin from a pasuk and chumash. But if I'm eating by myself at home, there's nobody else there. So what do you mean, marisayin? Who's going to see anything? So then, chajer chadorim, that's only a gzera derabon. But if you have a real marisayin, so I'm really going to go into a trefer restaurant with a yarmulke, and people are going to think that I'm eating there or something like that. That's a real marisayin. When you have real marisayin, that could well be that is an issa deraisa. That could be that is an issa deraisa. So that's what the Rashba quotes when they arrive. The Shmuel on Amud Beis says if you have a piece of meat that was broiled, and then you cut it with a knife on top of a loaf of bread, so and the duchkid sakina, the pressure of the knife is going to cause some extra blood to come out. So what's the problem? The Gemara said that's moel habosa, that's chamar bisra. The answer is rubber holes like that. There's no gzera de rabbanon. And Shmuel holds that it's a marisai. If it's gonna be reddish stuff on the bread, on the challah, then people would think that it's dumb.
We don't pass like that.
No, we assume it's like rubber. We assume like rubber that it is mutter. We're not worried about this marisai. But that's a machlekes. Rav on Amud Aleph says mutter, he ate it. And Shmuel was concerned of the marisayin al pi pashtus. Salt is
30
chloride. But the
doctors prescribe potassium chloride for people who are not able to use some of the
to remove the blood.
Kashering salt for so that people could eat.
Whatever works. I don't know. The Achrayim.
It does. It has osmotic pressure. It draws out blood.
So it's
exactly the same.
Same thing. So it's the same thing. The Paskim discuss using sugar. can you use sugar to salt your flesh? So some say, yeah, sugar has the same properties as salt. It'll also draw out the blood. I don't know. So a discussion in Pesach. They should experiment it to find that. Then in recent years, 40, 50 years ago, there was the Satmar Rebbe came out with a chiddush. The real Satmar Rebbe came out with a chiddush that when the Gemara talks about salting flesh, they used to use salt from the ocean,
sea salt,
and the chemical composition of salt that they find in the mines, salt mines, is not exactly the same. So he said the Chazal didn't know anything about that kind of salt, so you can only use salt from the sea. You can't use okay, but he said the Chazal are only he thought the Gemara is only talking about the salt from the sea. So they say that he asked the Kleisenberger Rebbe, what does he say about that Chiddush of the Satmar Rebbe? So he says he personally doesn't know, but he said the Satmar Rebbe is an expert of Tzapen Blut. So, he used to harass a lot of people. So he said, Medafim Folgen, because he's an expert. So that's a question you have to experiment to find out what can substitute if they think that potassium chloride is the same thing. So, sure. It's also good. Okay. So, Nishkan Alach Lemoshe Messinae over here.
If you boil in a piece of meat that wasn't salt in order that everything left should be Mayal Abasa, why isn't there a belia of all that dam that was yotze from the initial boiling? Why doesn't it go back inside?
If you do what?
If you boil. Didn't he say you can boil the meat so that everything left is only Mo'al HaBasar for the dam?
If you salt the meat first, and then you boil it, yeah.
What do you have to do? Are you doing a melicha b'miksas, not a real melicha?
By broiling. When you broil, you do a melicha b'miktzas, because the Rambam hold that's a shaila. Some hold you don't need melicha at all when you broil. The others say you do, so we do melicha b'miktzas. When you want to cook the meat, so you have to do real melicha in advance. After you finish doing the melicha, then you rinse off. You have to have hadacha rishayin and hadacha achrayin. Hadacha rishayin is to remove all of the dam b'yen on the surface and also to soften the basar. And then you salt the meat, you let it sit for half an hour, and then you rinse everything off afterwards. Because the dam will have absorbed all of that dam, so you have to get rid of all of that salt. The salt will give a flavor. The flesh will be salty. Flesh will be a little salty, but the salt that absorbed the dam is treif, so that you have to throw out. And the salty flavor in the flesh, that's kosher. That's not a problem. So after you removed all the dam that has to be removed, then if you boil it, that's not a problem. We paskin, there's no problem. Even Shmuel will agree that's not a problem. Shmuel only says Amaris Ayin. If you only cut a piece of flesh that was broiled already on top of the piece of meat, then only the dam comes out. So that's marisayin, like a person eating a sandwich and the dam oozes out. Okay, so we're up to the fourth line on Kuf Yud, base on the base. Omer Rav Nachman, what's the din? Fish, you don't have to salt to remove the blood. It has blood, but the dam dogim is muta. And oifas, chickens, you have to salt. What's a din if you salt dogim the ofa shemolchem ze imze? I have a bretel, I have a kli menukav where I'm going to salt flesh, and I put chicken, oifas, and I put fish, kosher fish and kosher oifas, everything kosher. I salt them all together. Zok there, it's asurim. What's asurim? The dogim, the fish, become treif because they'll be boleya the dam. The chickens are not going to become treif. The chickens are going to give off dam. Even if you have a pile of chickens, a few layers on top of each other, that's what Tosis, the long Tosis, discusses that. How do you salt a few layers of flesh, a few layers of chicken, a chicken and flesh, one on top of the other? So Kolzman, that it's giving off dam, so Agav, the Tart, Lemiflad, like Baral, we assume it's not going to be Balea dam. But one of them, the one that I put on the bottom, is going to finish giving off all the dam first. Then I put other pieces on top of it. That'll take 2 minutes later. The piece on top of that will finish giving off all the dam 2 minutes later. So the top piece of chicken or flesh that's on the top is going to still be giving off dam when the bottom piece will already have stopped giving off dam. So why doesn't the bottom piece become treif? So that's what Tosis says, no. It takes, let's say, a shiur. That's what Tosis quotes from the Halachas Gedolos. How long does the flesh have to sit with the salt? How long do they have to salt the flesh? So because Shmuel said a memra, maliach, kiroseach, when you salt, let's say you salt together kosher flesh with treifa flesh, So the treif of flesh is salty, so it's going to give a blia from the treif of flesh into the kosher flesh, and it'll become treif. So since Shmuel said it did maliach kiraseach, so from that we establish that how long do you have to salt flesh to remove the dam is long kishir tzliya, the amount of time that it would normally need to broil a piece of flesh. How much is shir tzliya? So the halachas gedola says a shir mil, the amount of time that it takes to walk a mil. How much is a shir mil? So they're different opinions. So we usually assume 18 minutes. The Mishnah Berurah always says 18 minutes. And the later Paskim, the Mishnah Berurah was quoting this from an earlier source. So Paskim said a few centuries before the Mishnah Berurah, they were commenting on the earlier Pasuk. It said a mil is 18 minutes. They said he had a different system of counting time. 18 minutes by him was by us is 22 and a half minutes. So that's what they say. Every time the Mishnah Berurah writes that a shear mill is 18 minutes, they say it's not accurate. That's on a different system. On our system that we have 60 minutes in an hour and 24 hours in a day and so on, our normal system is really 22 and a half minutes. So the meaning is that you salt the flesh at least a half an hour. You salt the flesh, you let it sit for an hour. So it takes, let's say, 22 and a half minutes to remove all the dung. But even after all the dam comes out, after 22 and a half minutes, it's still giving off tzir. Tzir is the juice of the meat. So kolzman, that the, we said the shiloh was, how do you salt different pieces of flesh, one on top of the other? You have layers and layers. The one on the bottom is going to finish giving out all of the dam in 22 and a half minutes. The pieces on top, 2 minutes later. So the one on top is still going to be giving off dam. The one on the bottom finished giving off all of its dam. How come it's not bolea, the dam from the upper piece? So that's what the Langa Taisa says. As long as the bottom chatichas basar is still being poiletzir juice, so it's also not going to be balei the dam. So that's they quote the Maisir bebeisel shal Rashi. This is a famous Taisus in Yerideya. This Dima Mascha Dogim is discussed at length in Shulchan Aruch, and then in the last how many lines is it? About 10 lines from the end of the Taisus. The line begins with the word habasar. The line begins with the word habasa. So the second word is ira maisa bevesu shal Rashi. In Rashi's home, such a case happened that they salted the flesh and it was sitting in the salt for half an hour in a kli menukav, and all the dam went out. And then they put the piece of flesh in a container, and more juice kept on coming out. And a whole discussion what the din is. So they discussed this at length. So this whole discussion is based on this gemara. Amar Rav Nachman, we're on the sixth line from the top of Kuf Yud Beis and the base, Dogim Yofish Amochim Zemza, he salted fish together with chickens. Asurim, the fish becomes treif because of the dam. The dam from the dogim is mutter, but the dam from the ofos, the dam from the chickens is treif, so it makes the fish treif. Frek the Gemara, how did it make the fish treif? Hechidami, what's the case? Ibiklisha Eina Menukov. If you're salting everything in a container and all the blood comes out from the fish, from the chickens, and it's just being collected there and sitting there, so everything is sitting in the blood. Even if you just salted only chickens, you didn't have chickens and fish. What's the significance? Even one piece of fish, your own piece of meat. If you salt a piece of meat, then a cliche in a manukup, so the dam is going to come out, there's no place for it to go. It's going to accumulate in the container. And then it's going to make treif, that piece of meat, because it's sitting in the dam, and it's going to be balea. So what does he say? When it's coming out, it's not balea, provided there's a place for it to go. But if there's no place to go, it's sitting in its own dam. The first 22 and a half minutes, we assume dam is coming out. So kozma, the dam is coming out, and it's sitting in the dam, then kovish balasa. It'll make the chicken treif. Ella, what? Ibikli menukav, afila dog, v'ibikli menukav. And if there is a place for the dam to go through, normal, you salt it on a breitel, but there's a place. Afila dog, v'ev is not mishari. So what's the problem? Whatever dam comes out from the dog, from the oifus, is going to go down, fall on the lower part. Going to fall down the drain. So why did the fish become treif? And for the Gemara, no, that's the pshat. Liyolam b'kli menukav. There is, it's on a breitel where there is a place for the dam to roll down. And if you would have chicken and chicken, it wouldn't be a problem. However, chicken and fish is a problem. But dogim, by fish, mishum derofu kramayu, the skin on the fish is softer than the skin on the chickens. So kadmi upalti, the fish also have dam, but the dam is mutter. But all of the dam will come out when you salted the fish, all the dam in the fish. You don't have to remove the dam, but he's salting the fish and he's salting the chickens. So all the dam from the fish will be will come out faster than the dam of the chickens. Va'ofos kamiti, and the chickens, the skin is tighter, so it's, the dam is going to take much longer to come out from the chickens. So therefore, basa d'naychi dogim, after the fish will already finish, basa d'naychi dogim, after the fish will no longer be giving off any dam and any tzir, then play the oifos. The oifos will still be poila dam, will still be giving off dam. Bahada bali minei, then the fish will be balea back again. So that's the Langa Taisus has a discussion. What if you did different layers of flesh, and the upper layer of flesh was put in 5 minutes after the lower layer of flesh? What if you have chicken and flesh? So the chicken, probably the dam comes out faster than the flesh. The thicker the skin is, so the longer it takes.
The experiment. I mean, take a look.
So Taisus came up with this chiddush, that even though all the plate of Saddam will be completed in the shear mill in 22 and a half minutes, but there's still going to be pleitas tzir. So Kolzman, that there's pleitas tzir, we say that it's not balea the dam. So even though the upper layer was put 3 hours, 5 hours, you got plenty of hours, quite a few hours after the dam is all finished, there's still going to be pleitas tzir, and it won't be balea. This din is only by fish and flesh, because the fish is more susceptible to be balea because the skin is thinner, softer, and therefore all the dam is going to come out first. That's the gemara. The fish is lower down. The fish would be on top, wouldn't be a problem. Yeah, the dam is dripping down on the fish.
The gin is the power of the meat.
Abada?
Yeah.
Power of it? If you're going to salt it with the flesh, it may become fleshic, okay? It'll be balea the fleshic tam.
You don't mix.
Yeah. That's a gemara. The gemara says that if you cook fish with meat together, so that's us. The doctors in the days of the Gemara, Galtna was on the cutting edge of medicine then, so they held that that's a chashash that can cause tzaras if you eat fish and flesh that were cooked together. So the Magen Avraham lived in the 1600s, and he says the doctors in the last few generations have never heard of such a thing. He doesn't see that there's any problem. The Rabbi Yehuda, who lived in the late 1700s, said we're not so convinced. Maybe the doctors in the days of the Magen Avraham made a mistake. Maybe the doctors in the days of the Gemara. Which doctors we're talking about? We're talking about Goyish doctors. We're not talking about Tanoim and Amoraim. They weren't doctors. They sat and they learned. They were relying on the Goyish doctors. That's how the Chassam Sofer says. Whenever the Gemara makes medical statements, they were relying on the Goyish doctors of their generation. Could be their doctors did make a mistake. It could be that somehow the fish and the flesh in the days of the Gemara, maybe it did cause taras, but that's the Shaila Bizman Hazeh. Does it really cause taras? So that's what it's strange, that people are so medactic. The Shach, we mentioned, Shach says in Yavadeh, the Hashash only is if the fish and the flesh were cooked together. But if just eating it together, they weren't cooked together, so that there's no Hashash. So we always have different forks. Said even the Goyim have different, a fish fork and a flesh fork. Okay. So that's the Shaila, whether it still applies Bizman Hazeh.
What if you fillet the fish and the chicken?
Mm-hmm. What do you mean, filleted
no
with?
Skin.
To cook the skin.
Fillet.
Yeah. But he get to what? So what's the shot?
The meat. The problem was the skin.
No, this is by salting. This is by salt. If you salt the fish with the chicken, then we're afraid. And the fish is on the bottom, and the chicken or the flesh is on top. Then we're concerned that the dam will go down from the top. Gravity is going to pull the dam down. It's not going to pull it up, like he said. So the fish are on the bottom.
There is no skin at all.
Still it's. So for sure, so the fish will be bolea. So the fish will absorb the dam, and the fish will become treif. It'll only be the rabbanon, because dam shed bishla is the rabbanon, dam shed malcha is the rabbanon. But still, it'll be an isa the rabbanon.
No change to the chicken and meat.
There probably is a difference, but it probably takes longer to get all of the tzir out of the meat than it does for the chicken. But that'll be a nafkamina for hours. It'll be Arav Kamina for hours. It'll be way later.
All these are
Metzius.
It is Metzius.
Tanakh and Rambam. They didn't know how to experiment. You have to know how to experiment.
That's very. Put one piece of meat on this one. You wait to see what happens.
Okay. I don't know.
If you cook the dagim in a flashing pot, the dagim is flashing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's not banat. Yeah. That's what we had before. If you cook fish in a flashing pot, so the Gemara said before, dogm sha'olu the kaira. If you have burning hot fish, I just fried the fish, parva, I put it on a flashing plate. So dogm sha'olu the kaira doesn't become, the fish doesn't become flashing, and you can even put butter on the fish. That's because the plate is cold and the fish is burning hot. What if I cook the fish in a flashing pot? So they're both burning hot. I cooked it together. So that was the machlokes. The Rivon was Rashi's son-in-law. The Rivon quotes his father-in-law Rashi as saying, "Dogm shebishlu b'kedem shel basar." There's no cool of not banat, so the fish will be fleshy. And the Bali Atosis were not so convinced. They thought that he was misquoting Rashi. They didn't think Rashi said it. But in Shulchan Aruch, they have the discussion. If you're concerned about cooking fish and flesh together, that the Gemara claims that it's a chashash sakona for tzaras. So what if you cook fish in a fleshy pot? Is that also a chashash tzaras? Or is it only if you actually cook fish together with the flesh? No. So the Pesachei Tshuva quotes a machlokes achrayim for that. So that's why many are makpid to have a special fish pot. They don't want to cook fish in a fleshy pot, not because they're worried about not by not like they bishul, because they're worried about the chashash sakon. So many are makel on that, but in hospitals they're machmir because you're dealing with sick people anyway. So you don't want them to get more sick. So we're more worried about the fish and the flesh in the hospitals than by healthy people. Mm-hmm.
Okay. If you cook it together with meat, the dog is losing the taste, the original taste.
Okay. He wants it. They like it like that. So the Gemara says you shouldn't do it because it's not going to be healthy. So that's the shaila, whether we still assume that it's unhealthy. Okay. There are four lines from the bottom. The Gemara tells about Rav Meir Bar Rochel. Usually we identify people by their father. This Rav Meir Bar Rochel, his father, Gemen Agoy. So that's why we don't identify him. He was the grandson of Shmuel, Rav Shmuel. So Shmuel had a daughter, Rochel, and she was raped by a guy. She was attacked by a guy, Shmuel's daughter. Then the guy converted later. But this child had no Alpidini, had no father. Because the father was a goy and he was born to a Jewish mother, so he was Jewish. He's known by his mother's name, Rav Meir Bar Rochel. Some of the Rishonim say that Rabba Bar Bar Chana is really Rabba Bar Bar Chana. That was his grandmother. His grandmother was a very prominent figure. So Sarish Nira didn't have any children. But some of the anatical from Sarish Nira, so he wouldn't say who his father is or who his grandfather. No one heard of the father grandfather. The grandmother was the famous one. Sometimes you identify people by their mother or their grandmother. This is so-and-so's son because she's a prominent figure. But here, Rav Meir Bar Rochel, the Gemara says that his father, Gemen Agoy.
Well, all the Sish Rebbe's are anical from something or other, right?
Yeah. An anical from a man, usually, from a Rebbe, not from a Rebbe Tzinn. So here, his mother was Rochel.
In the Marsha also?
Yeah, okay. That was his mother.
Marsha, I think, was Shlomo Edel? Was that his mother's name?
Edlitz was his mother-in-law's name.
Mother-in-law.
His mother-in-law supported Marsha's mother-in-law was wealthy and she supported his yeshiva, so he took on his mother-in-law's name. Yeah. I would also, if my mother-in-law would support me, I'd take off. Issa Giyara was the name of the man who was the guy who raped her, and then later on he converted. That's the famous Issa Giyara. So the Gemara tells the whole story. Baba Basi was about to die, and he wanted to leave all of his Yerusha. He had a lot of money. He wanted to leave the Yerusha to his biological son, who was Alpidin, not his son. So the son didn't Yarshin. So I think one of the Amoraim happened to be holding on to all of his money. So he didn't want to go visit him. He didn't want to go be Mevakar Chayla, because then he's going to insist that he's going to be mocked on the money to his son, Meri Baruch. So Rabbi felt that it's a bigger mitzvah that the money should go for the yeshiva rather than it should go for Meri Baruch. So the Gemara tells the whole story, didn't want to go visit him, and then someone told the goy, the geir, someone told Issa Geira how you can make a kinyan even if Rabbi doesn't show up, make an udisa. So he was mitzvah that the money didn't belong to me in the first money that I entrusted by Rabbi last year wasn't my money in the first place. The money always belonged to my son, Rav Meir Baruchel. So then he walked, then he won, then it came, it didn't turn. Meir Baruchel won because the father made a hadas baldin that the money wasn't his; it belonged to Meir Baruchel. So the Gemara tells us, Meir Baruchel imlech le besar shchuta bahadi besar treifa. He had kosher flesh and he had treifa flesh that was going to be for the dog and going to be for the goyish dinst. So he salted. What do you have to salt? The treifa flesh or the kosher flesh? You have to salt to take out the dam. The treifa flesh, who's going to eat it? The dogs are going to eat it. Or the shiksa.
It was for the father before he was a guy.
Okay. So you're going to give it to the father. So somehow they salted the kosher flesh with the treifa flesh together. So the shaila was, does it make treif? Does the tam of the treifa flesh go into the... So usually we say there's no bliya b'tzayin. There's only bliya b'chamin. So here we're only salting. But malich kiraseach. Malich kiraseach. So we had a machlekes that... The Gemara said on Kuf Yibes Amin Aleph, the only time you apply Malach Kiresech, if it's so salty that it's Eina Necha Machmas Molcha. So Tesis had a Machlek, the Rabbi Yankev Yisrael, and the other Balei Tesis, how much salting does it mean? It means you have to salt it so much, like for the purpose of preserving it, in which case you salt it an awful lot. I know, when you salt it like you normally salt in order to take out the dam. So that's Malach Kiresech. So Tesis quoted this Gemara. The Gemara applies Maliach Kiresech to, they were salting it just to take out the blood, and that's called Maliach Kiresech, that makes a bleir. Even though it's Betzainen, it's not Ayidei Bishul, it still makes a bleir. Also, the Kama Derovis are to Gefrecht Ashaila. Did the Kosher Geshacht in the flesh, the Basar Shchuta, was it Balea of Tam from the Trefer flesh? Oma Lei Zokta Ye. So the Rav has Mefrecht is Tref. So he asked Rav, what's the difference? The Rav tells him it's Tref. Then Malach Kiresech, so the treifa flesh gives a bliya, gives a time into the kosher flesh, you're not allowed to eat it. So what does he quote? He quotes Hatmeim. There's an extra word in the Chumash. We believe HaKadosh Baruch Hu dictated the Chumash to Moshe Rabbeinu word for word, letter for letter. So every word, and every time there's an extra word, every time there's an extra letter, so we assume it's alluding to some halacha or another. So one of the psukim by Nevela has an extra word, Eila Tmeim Lachem. So what is
an extra hey? Hey, you say, Rashi says.
The hey you say. Okay, an extra hey. So this letter hey is miyutah. So that comes to be marbe. The letter tells you then, less at siran v'roit from the kippah shalem. Three things are included. So what are the three things? So kippah means like this. Let's say cook a pot full of flesh, and you have a soup there too. So on the bottom of the pot, a lot of particles of the flesh will disintegrate and they'll collect on the bottom. So that's mamish flesh. That's mamish flesh. So let's say I was cooking nevela flesh with potatoes, with carrots and onions and whatever, and a lot of soup. And particles of flesh are going to dissolve and going to fall to the bottom. So that's kippah. So kippah is mamish nevela. Part of it is going to, maybe it'll be a chatzi shir. Maybe you won't eat a whole kezias of it. But if you eat what's left on the bottom, after you eat all the vegetables and all the flesh, what's left on the bottom is going to be particles of nevela. So that's not a chiddush. They say, I don't need a pasuk hatmeim. I don't need an extra letter, hey, to tell me that the tiny particles are awesome. Tiny particles are nevela and a chatzi shir is awesome and atar. That's pasuk. And reitev, what does reitev mean? Not only are you not allowed to eat the flesh, you're not allowed to eat the soup that the flesh was cooked in. It's also pshita. That's tam kiker. That's tam kiker. The nevela flesh gives a tam into the soup, and when you eat the soup, it doesn't taste like water. It tastes the flavor of the flesh. So of course, the reitav is also because of tam kiker. Tam kiker and up from other psukim in the chumash. So this hay, this pasuk hatmeim, the hay is really only needed to tell me tzira. Tzira means like this: I have a piece of nevela flesh, so nevela flesh is going to have dam in it, so I salted it and all the dam is out. So I salted it, I rinsed it off, no more dam, finished. Now I take the nevela flesh and I start squeezing, so what comes out? The moel habasar, the juice of the flesh. So the juice of the flesh is also treif. One could have thought only the flesh is treif. The juice of the flesh is not basar. Many let's say Kanaim and Tlofim in Atzomis. Let's say you have an elephant as a non-kosher animal. So let's say you have bones from an elephant. So if you have an etz mishyesh bo moach, if you have marrow inside the bones, so the moach, the marrow inside the bone is mamish basar. Let's say if you have a Korban Pesach, everybody has to eat a kazayis of a Korban Pesach. Let's say all the people ate up all the flesh, nothing left, and I'm the last one. It takes me a long time till I say the Haggadah. By the time I get to the eating the Korban Pesach, they already ate up the whole Korban Pesach. There's nothing left for me. So the din is, you're not allowed to etzim l'sishbur bo, you're not allowed to break a bone in the Korban Pesach. But if not for that din, I would have said break a bone. I would have said eser dechal es eser. The only way to get to eat flesh is by breaking a bone and sucking out or eating the marach. I would have been yotze. The Gemara says no. Eser is not dechal es eser. Sheba migdosh in the base hamigdosh. Not eser is not dechal es eser. You're not allowed to break the bone, even though that's the only way for me to be yotze the mitzvah of achilas korban pesach, because the other bnei hachabura ate up all the flesh. So if you have, or let's say you brought a carbon, shlamim, whatever, you ate up all the flesh, but you didn't chew the bones. If you want to, you're allowed to chew the bones. Carbon Pesach, you're not allowed to. Etzem l'sishbur bo is only a din in carbon Pesach. So let's say they brought a carbon shlamim, and they ate up all the flesh, but the bones are left over. So the moyach shebe atzomas, the marrow that's edible, is roi l'achilas adam, so that if I leave it over 2 days, it'll become nifsal belin, it becomes noisar. And the Gemara says you have to burn the noisar. So after noisar beish, even though I wasn't mechuyev to chew the bones in order to eat the marrow, but still the marrow, if it's roil achidos adam, etzim sheish b'mayach, is considered basar, and it's nepach lios noisar, and you have to burn it when it comes the zman that it becomes noisar. You have to burn it. So, but what happens if you have, there are certain bones in the body that have no mayach inside? Just the bone itself. Let's say sometimes you have a bone, you removed all the flesh, just the bone itself. So I have a bone from an elephant, and it has no flesh at all, no moyach in it. I removed all the moyach, I removed all the flesh. So strictly speaking, menatar is mutter. Who's going to eat a bone? You break your teeth. So you grind up the bone, and somehow you want to put it in meatballs or something. So strictly speaking, it's mutter menatar. There's a shayla if it's awesome with the rabbanon. But menatar for sure it's mutter. Shayla and a shach, whether it's awesome with the rabbanon. So let's say you have karnayim, let's say an animal, a trefa animal has horns. Let's say an elephant, I think, has horns. Yeah. Doesn't have
tusks.
So let's say the tusks are, strictly speaking, karnayim is a mutter. So if you can't eat the tusk, but if you grind it down, so the din is that it's kosher. It's not treif. Karnayim, atzomis, different parts of the animal are not osir. Or what about the hide? Only besar behemet tamei is also the hide. So there are different kinds of hide. The Mishnah says later in Chulam, some parts of the hide are edible, roi l'achilas adam, some are not. So the hide that's roi l'achilas adam, taka is also, it's called basar. And that part of the hide that's used for parchment, that you're going to make it into leather, parchment, that's not roi l'achilas adam. So that's strictly speaking is mutter. So one could have thought that since the iser on behemet tamei and the iser on the vela and treif is only on the basar, and the kanayim and the tlofim, the hooves, is mutter. So one might have thought the bones and the horns and everything is mutter. One could have thought that the juice that you squeeze out, that's not basar, the juice is mutter. So that I need a pasuk. You say the hay is there, is needed to tell me that the tzir is asa, that the keeper is asa. Of course the keeper. Keeper means the little particles of flesh that accumulate on the bottom a little bit. So that's mamish the basar. I don't need a ribui for that. And the right that I know is also because it's tam ki yikar. The flavor of the nevela goes into the flavor of the trefa flesh, goes into the reitiv. But the tzir, that's the chiddush. If I squeeze out the juice, what if that the juice is not dina kibasa? It should be mutam and atayra. So that's the chiddush. Know that the tzir is also.
The flavor of the meat doesn't go into the tzir?
Huh?
The flavor of the meat doesn't go into
But the Tosis works on that kasha. Yeah. If you taste the tzir, if you take a piece of meat, let's say you remove the ovadam, and then you're going to squeeze it out, so the juice that comes out is going to taste fleshik. So isn't that tam ki ikar of the nevela? So the truth of the matter, that's a Tosis Simsochim talks about this. Truth of the matter is that tzir didn't get its flavor from the flesh. The same pigments that give flavor to the flesh give flavor to the tzir. The tzir doesn't have the flavor from the flesh. The tzir was given the same flavor that the flesh was given. So there wouldn't be a problem of tam kika to eat tzir. If tzir wouldn't be dina kibasa, there wouldn't be a problem. But the hey hayidia tells me less a tzir, and the tzir is also dina kibasa.
Why didn't they say Pesach Lado Shem?
Pesach Lado Shem, but you get to what?
That Pesach belongs to God.
So therefore, what is it? What does it lead to? It belongs to God. No, so therefore, right. Yeah, but what does it lead to? Okay, what does it lead to?
What about Yotzim and Asur? Asur, what do I care if it's not the Basur?
That's a good point. Yotzim min ha'aser is aser, right? The yotzim min ha'aser. The Rambam holds that yotzim min ha'aser. Yotzim min ha'aser means, let's say, I milk a pig. So not only is the flesh, the besar ha'behemot mei is aser, the milk is also aser. Let's say I have an ostrich lays an egg. So not only is the besar ha'oif tamei aser, even the beitzah ha'oif tamei is also aser. That's yotzim min ha'aser is aser. So if you have a non-kosher animal and it develops liquids, that should be osur. It happens over here that it's here it's trefa. There should be a difference between trefa and nevela. An animal while it's alive can't be a nevela, so it only becomes a nevela after it's dead. After it's dead, it can't manufacture, can't produce any more juices. Here it happens to be that it's besar trefa. So trefa can have a yetzim and hasa. While it was alive, it was a trefa. While it was alive, it was a trefa. So that's a good question. The Rambam's opinion is that if you drink the milk from a behemoth tomato or you eat the eggs from an oif tomei, there's an isa deraisa and isa esse, but there's no lav. Tosis in Chulin early in Elotrefus, Tosis disagrees with the Rambam. Tosis holds that there is malchus. The Rambam shita is the easier shita over here. It fits in easier in more Gemaris and Mishnayis. The Rambam holds that the hayotzim and ha'osir osir, if you've been only asa the tzir because of its yotzim and hasa, because it was manufactured by the trefa while the trefa was alive, it would have been an isa rese, but it wouldn't be an isa lav. And now that the pasuk is marba hatmeim less a tziron, so it tells me that it's an isa lav. It tells me that tzir is dina kibasa mamish. I would have thought that tzir is like karnaim and tlofim and atzomis shein ben moyach. It's not dina kibasa. So the pasuk tells me no. Tzir is dina kibasa, and if you have a kazayis of tzir, you'll be like on it.
The question, I still don't understand, Warwick, from what you're saying, it says le'osot tzira, to us it's zero, but it also says verot from the kippah shalai.
Right,
so kippah,
we know on our own.
So
right.
Then we wouldn't need, why do I need the hay?
You don't need the hay. That's what Taisa says. A lot of times, many drushes in the Torah's Kohanim, the Sifra, this and the Sifra, and many, many drushes in the Sifrei are only asmachtes from the Rabbanim. So this one is a real drasha gemura. This is an extra hay, but the drasha is only needed for the tzir. For the other two, it's not needed. So Taisus gives you a parallel. There are other gemaras. They call it gemara bar mitzvah, I think. But the gemara has a pasuk, v'hisalamta, and the gemara says the pasuk teaches you A, B, and C, and the gemara itself says, yeah, B and C, I know on my own. I only need the pasuk for A. So sometimes you have a brisa. Here it says the pasuk tells me A, B, and C. B and C I could figure out on my own from other psukim. I only really need it for A. For B and C, it's an asmachta, but it wasn't really necessary. So this is the shada that Rav Meri Baruchel asked Rava. He salted together, mistama by mistake, he salted together the kosher flesh with the trefa flesh. So do I have to be concerned that there's going to be a blia? So Rava says, yes, because the tzir of the behema trefa is going to enter into the dam. There's no problem. They're both poilet dam, they're both poilet tzir, so they're both going to be poilet dam for a long time. He's not going to have it sit there for 10 hours. After an hour or two or three or four, he's going to wash off all of the flesh. So the kosher flesh with the trefa flesh, everything's being poilet dam, is being poilet tzir, so it's not being bolea dam, but the kosher flesh is being balea tzir from the trefa flesh. So that's the problem.
Even though it's poilet dam
and it's poilet tzir, but it will be balea tzir. We say agav the tard lemifla tzir la bala dam. It's not balea dam. Calls man the dam. It's poilet in 22.5 minutes, but it keeps on being poilet tzir for another 10 hours, many hours after the dam is over. So Kozman is being poilet tzir, it's not going to be balea dam from the upper pieces, but it can be balea tzir from the upper pieces. So the kosher of flesh is balea the tzir from the trefa flesh. So Rava said, the Rava gave a psak and he gives us a mocker, the drosh and the Taras Kohanim on this pasuk.
If the bottom piece is still giving out tzir, it could be balea.
That's the assumption. Agav the Torah, Kozman is poilet tzir, it's not balea dam, but it will be bolea tzir from the other one. That's the assumption in the Gemara here. So Rava gave up Sakit Zasa, that Basar Shchuta Zasa, because it's Balea the Tzir, and he mentioned this Taras Kohanim, Hatmeim Leset Tzirim Veroitvim. Taisa just points out over here that you have a few Diroshes, Hatmeim, and a few different Psukim. So some of them are real. There's a little Taisis here. This is an important Taisis. This Hatmeim, the shorter Taisis. Drosha Gemurihi, it's not an Asmachta. A lot of Droshes in the Taras Kohanim, and even more in the Sifrei, are only Asmachtas from the Rabbanim. But Taisa, this one is a Drosha Gemurah. This is a real Drosha Gemurah, means a real Din Daraisa, the Gabi Shrotzim. Shrotzim are the non kosher animals. Ubehema, Behema Tmeya. But by Dogim is not. Seer of Dogim, Taisus interprets a Gemara. Taisus has a Gemara earlier in Perikid Anosha. Kidaparishas, as we explain Pshat in the Gemara. The Gemara, we don't know how to read the Gemara. So Taisus wants to knock sense into the Gemara in Perikid Anosha. We didn't learn it yet. It's early on Daf Tzadik Tes. So Taisa says what the Gemara meant to say was that Tzir of Dogim is only Asmachta Medir Rabban. If you take a non-kosher fish and you squeeze out the dam as mutter, there's no problem, so you don't even have to salt it. I take a non-kosher fish and squeeze out juice from it, so that's only Asmachta Medir Rabban. But if you take flesh, non-kosher animals, or a behemoth tmeo, or an avela, and you squeeze out the juice from that, so that juice is Dina Kibosa, that's an Isa Derais. And Tzir of Dogim is only Medir Rabban. So the Prima Godim quotes this Taisus, and he has halachas based on this assumption. That's always the Prima Godim always asks the first question he asks on every single din. Is this a din deraisa, din derabban? Hilchus Tzitzis and Hilchus Tefillin, Hilchus Kriyashma, every time he always asks, is it deraisa derabban? And if it's deraisa, where is the pasuk? And sometimes it makes a difference. Is it this pasuk or that pasuk? It'll make a difference. It'll indicate something about the nature of the din. So Taisus says, this Taisus holds, it's a stira. Other Taisus and don't agree. This Taisus holds that Tzir of Dogim is only an Isa de Rabban. Okay. Frag de Gemara, when Rava told Rameri Baruchel that his kosher flesh just became treif, why did he quote the Braisif and the Taras Kohanim Hatmeim Lesa Tziron Velei Malei Midish Shmuel? Why didn't he quote Shmuel's memory? Shmuel was in the first generation of Amorim. Rava was after Shmuel. They knew everything that Shmuel said. The Amar Shmuel, we know Shmuel's did. Everybody knows that. Shmuel was the one who said this chiddush that there's a bliya bitzainen. There was a machlekes on the previous daf here. Whether you say maliach kiresech here, there was on kufi ralef on the base. There was an opinion in the days of the Amoraim that only a bliya derech bishul asas. Only a klirishin, a klisheni, that's how we pass in Shulchan Aruch. A bliya by klisheni doesn't asa. Allah, the Ramban disagrees, but that we pass on Shulchan Aruch like this is a bliya and a klisheni does not. So you see, you need only a bliya derech bishul. How can you say maliach and kavush make a bliya, but there is no bishul? Maliach and kavush is not a bishul. So that's what Shmuel made a chiddush. He said, if the bliya is bechamin, then it has to be derech bishul and klisheni does not. But there is such a thing as bliya b'tzeinen. That was Shmuel's chiddush, and there are Amoraim who disagreed. They said, no, just like a bliya b'klisheni does naser, so bliya b'tzeinen does naser either, because it's not derech bishul. So the Gemara asks, Rava knew the memory of Shmuel. Shmuel was an earlier Amora, it was famous. L'lei malei midi Shmuel dama Shmuel maliach arei kesech kavish arei okim mevushal. Yeah. Why did he quote a Taras Kohanim that was not so popular? Many people never heard of that. He should have quoted to Mary Baruchel, the member of Shmuel, that was more popular. More people heard of Shmuel's member. And for the Gemara, what does it help if you quote Shmuel? Maliach keresech makes treif if you have something treif. But we're debating whether tzir of a behemah treifa is usher. If tzir of behemah treifa is kosher, so what does it help to say Maliach keresech? Maliach keresech, it'll make a bliya. So what? But it's a bliya of a kosher food. And for the Gemara, imid Shmuel, if Rava would have only quoted Shmuel, then maliach kiresech, if you put a lot of salt, ein anechem asmalcha, if you put so much salt like you salt flesh to remove the dam, if he would have only quoted Shmuel's statement to Paskin the Shaila here that he salted the trefa flesh with the kosher flesh, it wouldn't have, the psak would be half missing over here. Who says that Siriz asa? Have amin, I would have said, hanimili daman, that dam. Dam is treif. So if you have a bliya of dam, ide maliach, it'll make the other food treif. Aval tzir, who says that tzir of a behema treif is also? Maybe tzir is not dina kebosah. So the tzir is mutter. So what does it bother me that maliach keresech? Aval tzir on v'right from line. Would have thought it's mutter. Kamash Malan, that's why I had a quote the Braisa from the Taurus Kahanim. The Braisa says Beferish, less at Sirin, that Sir is Dina Kibasa. Freg the Gemara, isn't there a Beferish, a Braisa that contradicts it? The Braisa says, Daktoho Shemolchem, Daktome, I salted together, it's Kemat, the exact same thing. What happened to Mary Baruchel? He salted together Kosher Geshochten of Flesh, Besar Shchuto, together with Bahadi, together with Besar Trefel. So here, the Braisa talks about a person salts kosher fish together with non-kosher fish. Daktoho Shemolchem, Daktome, Shteit Mutter. Says Beferish that it's Mutter. My labshar yishnei meluchim, the simple reading of the Braisa is that they're both salty. And you see that maliach doesn't aser, even though the treif of fish is salty, full of salt, it doesn't aser the kosher fish. So doesn't it contradict Rava's psak? And for the Gemara loy, it doesn't contradict Rava. The Braisa that says kosher is only in one direction, gan shahayim tohar maliach v'tamei tofel. Tofel means that it's not salted. So the treif of fish is not salty. Treif of fish is bland. Tofel means bland, has no salt. The kosher fish is salty. So this din that Shmuel said, Maliach, Areo Kirasech, means if the treif of food, treif of fish, and treif of flesh, whatever it is, if the treif of Michael is salty, then it has a koyach to penetrate, to give a tam into the kosher food. But if the kosher food is salty, that salty food is more balea, that's not true. If the treif of food is not salty, only the kosher food is salty, then it doesn't make treif.
The language of doesn't sound like that.
Doesn't sound like that, absolutely. The Gemara is going to argue it out. Gemara is going to not so convinced about it. Gemara is not so convinced. So at first the Gemara thought, my lab, the simple reading, is shoy shnei meluchim, you salted both together, treif of fish, but the kosher food is not name. You can ding zech and say, kigon shoy tor maliach, the kosher fish was salty, and the tummy, the treifa fish, we call it a daktame, doesn't mean tumma v'tar, means a treifa fish, like basa tummy, is tuffel, is bland, it has no salt. Freg digmar can be. On the ketani safe, in the safe of the exact same price it says, im hoyator malich v'tami tuffel, it's kosher. So that case that you just said is spelled out explicitly in the safe. It says if the treifa fish is bland, tuffel, and the kosher fish is salty, so the treif of fish will not succeed in giving a tam into the kosher fish. There is no assumption that salty food is going to be bolea b'tzaynin. Only salty treif of food can be mavliya. So the braisa, the sefer, talks about that case. Michlal, the inference is, the reisha that says, if you salted kosher fish with treif fish, talking, you salted both of them. It's not talking about the same case. There's a reisha and a sefer, two different cases. So the sefer is talking about that kind of case. The inference being Mechalal, the Reisha, the first case in the Braises, Bishishnei Meluchem Askinon, and still we say that it's kosher. And still we say it's kosher. How come it's not kosher? That's a good question. How come it's not kosher? So Rashi has two girsas. Why? So Rashi says, Shema Menatzira Muta Loi Gassino. He says, he doesn't like that girsa. What are we driving at over here? What are we trying to prove in the Braisa? We're trying to prove that seer of a non-kosher animal is kosher. He says, no, that's not true. You have the Braisa that says, v'hatveim les etziron. Etzir is also. Truth in the matter, Tosafot said, tzira fish is only the Rabbanon. See, we're talking about fish. The Braisa is talking about fish. So it's only made the Rabbanon. But still, bottom line, it's still made the Rabbanon. So you can't have the gear says, shma mino, Rashi says, that can't be the girsa in the Gemara. So what are we trying to prove? We're trying to prove that Maliach doesn't asa. We had a discussion on the previous daf. That's what we just pointed out. In Shulchan Aruch, we paskin l'alocha that a klisheni is not mevashel. So a bli and klisheni doesn't asa either. Ramban says, how can it be? The Ramban disagrees. It's ridiculous. If Maliach kerisech and kovish kemevush, he can have a bli a bitzainen. So how can you tell me a bli b'chamin has to be derech b'yishol? You see, it's not true. But bottom line in Shulchan Aruch, we pass from like the Tosfos, that if you have a bliya that's derech klisheni, but the b'di'evad it does not, so l'chatchili you should avoid it out of respect for the Ramban's opinion. But b'di'evad it does not, sir. So this is a chiddush that moliach kerisech kovish k'mevushel. Such a chiddush doesn't really make sense. If you say that the bliya b'chamin is only asas if it's derech b'yishol, how can you have a bliya b'tzainet at all? So there were opinions in the Gemara that moliach and kovish do not asa. So that's what the Gemara is trying to prove over here. Frag the Gemara, Meisve, can't you see from the Braisa that Moliach is not Keresech? There was a Machlekes Amoraim on the previous daf, so that was the Meisve. Not that we're trying to prove that Shema Minot Tzir Mutter. We know Tzir Abdogim Tmeim is Asa. We're not so convinced that it's an Issa Deraisa, and maybe like this Taisus, Prima Gadam has a steer between two Taisus, and maybe like this Taisus, that Tzir Abdogim is only Asa in the Rabban, but we know it's Asa. So you can't say that we're angling Shema Minot, we're trying to prove that Tzir Abdogim Tmeim is Mutter. No, trying to prove that Moliach is not Keresech. That if there's a blia comes like they malicha, it doesn't ask. What was the proof? Because the Bryce had a ratio and a sefer. The sefer is talking that the trefa fish was never salted, and that's why it's mutter. But in the ratio, it seems that they were both salted. The kosher and the trefa were both salted, and still it does nasser. So you see that you don't say malich keresir. So the Gemara name, there isn't a ratio and a sefer two different cases, and for the Gemara Pirusha Kamefarish, the sefer of the Bryce is explaining the ratio. It says, Tor Shemolcha, the Reisha says, Tor, a kosher fish and molcho, imdak tome, mutter, if you salt together, kosher fish with treif of fish. The kosher fish do not become treif. Ketzad, ketzad means keezetzad. The word ketzad is a combination of two words. You have mishnayos like that in Mchoris, where it's spelled out like that, keezetzad. In two different words, keezad. When do you say that the fish that was salted together, mutter? No, only in the case of the seifik. But if they're both salty and the treif of fish is also salty, then it will succeed in making the kosher fish treif. So Gemara Chanami Mistarva, you have to say like that. You have to say Perusha Kamefarish. You can't say that the Reisha is telling me that if I salted both the kosher fish and the treif of fish together, Maliach is not Kereseach. And then you have a Sefer that tells you if the kosher fish is salty and the treif of fish is not Avadano. So it's a Kavachaymer. So what do you need the sefer for? Zag Demar Hacharami Mistavi. You have to say that it's Pirush Kamefarish. That it's only one case. You don't have a Reish and a sefer. Two cases. There's only one case. Hacharami Mistavi has to be. These are Gadai the Reish Shnei Meluchim. In the Reish of the Brice, he salted kosher fish and treif of fish. They're both salted. Hash the Shnei Meluchim Shari. You say that it's Mutter. You know the treif of fish is salty. Why is it Mutter? Because Maleich is not Kereseach. So in the sefer case, Tor Maleich with Tommy Tofel. Neboyev, what's Hashaila? There's nothing to clear. So you have to say this pshat. The Hechriach, you have to say that the Sefer is Meforish Deresh. Zog Gemara, no, not necessarily. Not the convincing argument at all. Imishim Ha, if that's the whole argument, so the Sefer is Pshita, Lo Yiria, doesn't ish container. Maybe Tana Sefer Lugaluye Aresha. The late time, you shouldn't say incorrectly. The Resh is talking about a case of Tor Malich with Tomei Tofel, and it's still Mutter. Again, the loytem, or you shouldn't say again. Torah, the Reisha says you might mistakenly think like we suggesting now that the Reisha says that it's, if you salted them together, it's mutter. It's only in this case that the kosher fish is salty and the treif of fish is tough or blend. Avishneim aluchim will be aser. Now, so tana sefer torah malef tamei tofel. That it's kosher, Michal Deresha is a different case, name Meluchim, and it's still Mutter, and it's still Mutter, because you don't say Malik Kereseach. So you can't really tell. So you can't really tell from the Braisa how to read the Braisa. You can read that it's only one case, or you can read that they're two different cases, and we say Malik does not, Malik is not Kereseach. So you can't really sell. Zagdim one name, Toshmami Sefer, the Sefer. We didn't finish the Braisa. There's a Resha, there's a Sefer, then there's another part, a third part. Sefer, the Sefer, the third part in the Braisa. What does it say in the third part? Avalim, Hoyatami, Malich, Vitar, Tofel, says Beferish. If the treif of fish was salty, and the kasha fish is bland, Basur. So what is that proof? So what does that prove? So the Gemara wants to say a diuk. What can you infer? Tomi malech v'tar tofel hudios. The only time it's treif is if the treif of fish was salty and the kosher fish is kosher. Or shnei meluchim. But if they would both be salty, then it would be mutter. So that doesn't make any sense at all. Why? Because they're both salty. Then the treif of piece of fish will not succeed in making kosher fish treif. Why? It doesn't make any sense. That the Gemara is asking that. If you're going to read the Braisa so carefully, so the sefer doesn't make sense. Sounds like that's the only case that it makes treif. If they would both be salty, it wouldn't make treif. So the Gemara, no, that's not the inference that you're making is incorrect. Why did the Sefer write that? I did the Tanaveh, Shetom Alech, Vadame Tafel. That case is kosher, Taranami Sefer, in one direction, Tanaveh Alech, Vatar Tafel, it makes treif, but it really makes treif in both cases. So that's the Maskanas HaGemar. The Gemara says, you can't shlug up Shmuel. We paskan like Shmuel, that Moliach is Kiresech, and Kovish is Kemevushal. Although, if it's a B'liya B'chamen, it has to be Dafke Derech Bishul. And if it's a B'liya B'klisheni, bottom line, we pass him that it's Mutter L'chatchile, would be Choshish for the Ramban Shita, that a B'liya B'klisheni also makes Osa. You don't need a B'liya that should be Derech Bishul. But the Mikra Adin, we pass him only Derech Bishul, K'lisheni doesn't make an Isan. But we do hold like Shmuel's then, that Moliach Kiresech, Kovish Kemevushal. There is a B'liya B'tzen. Okay. So these are the different types of B'liyas. Now the Gemara goes back to how do you salt the flesh? How do you succeed in salting the flesh to remove all of the dam? So we already went through this. Amar Shmuel, ein abasi yetzim midei dam. The only way you can succeed in removing all the dam, elam kein molcha yafe yafe medicha yafe yafe. You have to salt it well, and you have to rinse it off well at the end. Shmuel never mentioned the word about rinsing it off before you salt it. It just says molcha, you salt it well, and then you rinse off all of the dam. Itmar, but we have other Amoraim also was speaking about how do you salt the flesh. Itmar, Rafun Amar Maleach Umadiach. Rafun says the same as Shmuel. You salt it well and then you rinse it off. However, b'masnita tana, but there's a brisa that says there are three steps. First you have to be Mediach, first you rinse off the flesh, then Maleach, and then Mediach. Need Adoch Rishon and need Adoch Achreina. So isn't it a contradiction? How come Shmuel and Rav Huna only spoke about salting the flesh and rinsing it off, Hadach Achreina. And the Braisa talks about Hadach Rishaina. Is there a machloikas? There's no machloikas. When you got it from the butcher shop, sometimes the butcher rinses it off before he delivers it to you. So you already did Hadach Rishaina. So the first step you do is to salt it. But if the butcher didn't rinse it off, then you have to do Hadach Rishaina, Malicha, and then Hadach Achreina. And for the Gemara of a Lord Pligi, there's no machlekas over here between Rav Huna and the Masnita Ton and the Braisa. Hod Chalei Beit Tapcha, in the case where the butcher rinsed it off already, Chalei means to wash off the flesh, then you don't need a Hadach Rishayna. The butcher did it. Hod Chalei Beit Tapcha. If the butcher shop didn't rinse it off first, so you have the responsibility to rinse it off. So in the Shulchan Aruch they discuss the two reasons. Why do you have to do Hadach Rishayna? Why do you have to rinse off? We don't rinse off. We soak it in water for an hour. We soak it in water for an hour. There's no problem kavish kemevushal. Kavish kemevushal if you soak it for 24 hours. If I have a piece of meat that has all the blood in it, I let it soak in water for 24 hours, so we assume kavish kemevushal, the kavish will succeed in getting that dam to go out. It will be dam evarm shet pirish. Because man, you have a raw piece of flesh, it's dam evarm shelot pirish, so the blood is mutter. It's moel abasa, but if you have it soaking for long enough, this will succeed in taking the dam out and causing the dam to go back in. So it will become dam evarim shepirish. Dam evarim shepirish will make the piece of flesh treif. So we're not afraid if you're going to soak the flesh for an hour, we're not afraid the guy's going to forget and he's going to let it soak for 24 hours. The difference between 1 hour and 24 hours. There's a din, we paskin in Shulchan Aruch, there's a din kovish kemevushal by chometz v'tzir. If something is soaking in brine, something is soaking in salty, very salty liquid, so it becomes kavish kemevushal in much less than 24 hours. How much less? So that's a question. So the Tiferes Yisrael writes on Mishnayis in one place, the Darkei Tshiva quotes this, the Minkachi quotes the Tiferes Yisrael Mishnayis, I would never know about it. It's somewhere in Zroim. So he says, if it soaks for 18 minutes, sheer milk, 22 and a half minutes, then you say kavish kemevushal on a salty brine. And then all of the Achranim say that that's not true, has nothing to do with 18 minutes. They say it's much less, either 6 minutes or 8 minutes. If something treif and something kosher are soaking together in a salty brine for 6 minutes, we already say maybe kavish kemevushal. So let's say you have maror, and you want to get all of the bugs off of the maror. So if you soak them in salty brine, if the bugs are still alive, they will be irritated by the salty water. So they will jump. They will jump away. They'll jump off of the stuff. So some people like to soak their romaine lettuce in a salty brine. So the Kaf HaChaim writes, you shouldn't do that, even though you're only going to soak it for 2 minutes, because someone may call on the telephone, and then by mistake, you'll let it soak for 6 minutes. difference between 2 minutes and 6 minutes is not so much. He may make a mistake. But you're not choshish to be going to soak the flesh for an hour. You got to forget and soak it for 24 hours. There's a 23-hour difference over here. If it's only 4 minutes difference, then you're choshish. We don't allow to soak for a shorter period of time if you may make a mistake in 4 minutes. But you're not going to make a mistake in 23 hours. Yeah. So our minig is that we soak for an hour, and then you have to let it dry off a little bit. You're not supposed to put the salt on right away, because the moisture, there's so much liquid, so it'll dissolve all of the salt. A lot of times butchers make a mistake. They put the salt on when it's still sopping wet. So that says in the everyday, that's not correct. So you have to first soak it for an hour, then you let it dry off for a couple of minutes, then after it dries off a little bit, so then you put on the salt, and then the salt, Tosfos quoted, Alochas Gedolos, Maliach Kiraseach, Ditzli, so just like broiling flesh is a sheer mill, that's what he says, is 18 minutes, the Bayas is 22 and a half minutes, so too, the salting process, you should salt it for 22 and a half minutes. So we make, years ago, they didn't know exactly 22 and a half minutes, they didn't have such clocks or watches the way we have such precision, so they used to salt it for an hour, You shouldn't let it salt for too long. If you let it salt for 12 hours, so all of the dam and all the tzir will go out, then it'll start to be balea back again. So that you shouldn't do. But you salt it for an hour. And then you do a dach achrayim, because all the salt has absorbed all of the dam, so that's awesome. Why do you have to do a dach rishayna? So on the Yeridah, they give the two reasons. So one reason is to remove all of the dam bien on the surface of the piece of meat. That when you salt meat, the salting will only succeed in removing the blood in the capillaries. But if you pour the cup of blood on top of the piece of flesh and you salt it, adarabah, the salt will be mavliya the dam bien into the piece of meat. It won't succeed in removing it. So you have to make sure you move all of the dam bien. And then the other consideration that they give is, maybe the piece of meat, let's say you have meat that you just took out of the freezer, it's hard like a rock, like a piece of ice. So what is going to help? You're going to salt it. So even if it wasn't in the freezer, but if it's hard, so the salt is not going to succeed in removing all the dam. So if you soak the meat in water for an hour, this will soften, it'll do rikach habasar, and then the flesh will be susceptible to the dam, to the salt. The salt will be able to do the trick. Then the same Shulchan Aruch, let's say you soak the piece of meat for an hour, and then you decide you want to cut it into smaller pieces before you salt it. You don't want to salt a piece of meat so gigantic. If you want to, you could. Let's say you don't want it, you want to remove more dam. So after you soaked it for an hour, then you take a knife and you cut it again. We assume when you're going to cut it, the duchkir sakina, like Shmuel said over here, the duchkir sakina will cause more dam to come out, so you have new dam bien on the surface. So then you have to wash off that. You already soaked the flesh for an hour, you don't have to soak it anymore, but you have to wash off all of the dam bien on the surface. Okay.
No.
If I soaked it for an hour, and then I decide before I salt it, I want to cut it into smaller pieces, so then the place where you cut it is going to have more dam bien. You got to wash it off again. Because we're concerned about both worried about the dam bien, that the salt will be mavliya the dam, it won't remove it. Dam bien on the surface will be nivla. And the other consideration is the rakech esabosa to soften it. So they have all the nafkaminas because of the fact that you have the two reasons.
Because when you have hose it down before 3 days, that means you put the dam or something like that?
The chumra is hagainim. The gainim came up with a chumra that if the flesh was geshochten 72 hours ago, so then we're afraid that the malicha will not accomplish, will not be able to remove all of the dam, and you'll only be able to broil it. So we wouldn't allow you to do malicha and then cook it in a pot. So that says in the Shulchan Aruch, if you soak the meat, or even if you wash it down, if you soak the meat within 72 hours, then you have another 72 hours. Then you have another 72 hours. Every time you soak the meat, then you have another 72 hours. The Shagasari wrote in the Tshuvas HaChadoshos, the regular Shagasari is about tefillin. All the bar mitzvah droshes used to come from the Shagasari. About tefillin, about kriyashma, about davening, and so on. Arachaim did good topics. And then the Tshuvas HaChadoshos, he has other things. So the Tshuvas of the Shagasari, Tshuvas HaChadoshos, he writes, what's the mocker in Shas for the Chumas HaGoinim? That if you have a piece of meat that was geshocht in 72 hours ago, that we assume that you will not succeed in salting it to remove all of the dams. So he said it's based on the end of Yevamos. that there's a Gemara in Yevamos, if a woman is married and her husband dies, she's allowed to remarry. What if the husband is dead, and so you have to have people identify, let's say it's in a different country, the wife is over here in America and the husband is somewhere else. So you have to have someone who recognizes the husband, knows what he looks like. So what if the husband died already a week ago, and they have the dead body exposed outside, and someone looks at the dead body a week after he died. We know when he killed him, we know when he died, whatever, and we identify the body later. So it says, Eimidim, you can't testify on a tviyasayin of the face if it's ready after 72 hours, because the face will be so blown up, out of proportion, everything will change, and he will not necessarily be able to recognize who he is. Unless the Gemara says if he was soaking in a river. If the dead body was in a river or in a lake, so then, even though it's there for more than 72 hours, then you can identify. But then you have to identify right away. You don't say you have 72 hours after that. There was a Maisha Shohaya in Toronto a couple of years ago. There was a man who was married, and he went on a boating with his children, I think. And that the boat turned over, and the husband drowned in the lake. And somehow they couldn't retrieve the body. The young children, they saw the father drowned. They couldn't retrieve the body. So the woman was an aguna. And they paid a fortune of money. People should look and look and look and look. They couldn't find the body. So the woman was, she couldn't remarry. And then a couple of months later, they found the body in a different location. And they thought that may be the husband. So there were people who knew what the husband looked like. So they said they have to come there right away. Right away when they take the body out of the river, they should be able to identify. That was it. It was over a half a year later. It was up this around 10 months later they found the body.
But you
can identify a dead body in other ways without the face. If you have DNA, if you have his comb, there are other ways to identify that's him. But to identify based on the triasayan of the parts of panim, yeah, it's out of style now. To identify what it says in the meat. Now we have better ways to identify.
What about freezing the meat and then doing the malicious?
So the poskim all say if it's a deep freeze, for sure it's good. Then even not a deep freeze. In Europe, a lot of times in Russia, some places it was so cold outside they didn't have refrigerators. It was so cold outside. So if you leave the flesh outside, that was the equivalent of a deep freeze. Yeah, that was the whole issue when they. I mentioned Rav Neuwirth, the one who just passed away, the one who wrote the Shemar Shabbos Kol Chasa. So he said that there were years that he used to travel to Argentina to supervise the shechita of the meat that they used to bring to Eretz Yisrael. So in the yeshivas, there would be the shtick, and Eretz said they wouldn't want to eat the Rabbanut meat because it's by the Rabbanut, that's why. So they had to give it teretz, what's wrong? So the teretz was that it was overflesh, that they didn't salt it in Argentina. They didn't salt it till way after 72 hours. After it came to Eretz Yisrael, but it was held in a deep freeze. So Rab Chaim Moiser was mekel, and all the gedolim, the Ocha Shulchan was mekel, all the gedolim are mekel. If it's in a deep freeze, or even not a deep freeze, if it's very, very cold, so frozen, so then we're mekel. It doesn't, it's not going to change the texture of the meat.
The Talmidim are cold Torah,
they
need to be
heated. Chveis nisht. Yeah.
Oh, you would give that shkach on it, no problem? When they're frozen?
I think so. Yeah. I think so, yeah. Yeah.
So the meat gets frozen in Argentina, goes to the freezer, boats to Israel, and that's then where the doom will get paid.
Yeah.
How fast do they do the melicha?
I don't know. The melicha was done after 3 days. But it was frozen the whole time. So that's what all the Gedolim would make. If it's frozen, so the whole Chumas Agoinim doesn't apply. And years ago, they used to do the Shechitas in the United States in the Midwest. Then they would send it by trains. And a lot of times it would be way more than 72 hours. So they used to take a hose and sprinkle a little water. So Rav Soloveitchik was very upset about that. So he said, why don't they just be Mevatel Chumas Agoinim? What are they making a joke out of everything? They would have a mashgiach go sprinkle 2 drops of water and shite, as if it's a zgula or something. You have to really soak it, or at least hose it down. The whole surface of the piece of meat should be hosed down, washed. That's time to sprinkle a little water.
No, actually, years ago, my sister worked for a meat packing company just in the office there. And she remembered they came out and they actually used the hose and they hosed down the meat.
Mm-hmm. That's what you're supposed to do. In order to have another 72 hours. Magen Avraham has a whole discussion in Hilchas Shabbos. Let's say you have raw meat on Shabbos, and you can't cook it on Shabbos, and it wasn't salted yet. So, and if you're going to wait till after Havdalah, your 72 hours will be up. Are you allowed to hose it down on Shabbos in order that you should be able to salt it? So that's Hachana. That's Hachana, you're not allowed to. Let's say if you finish, let's say you had milchiks with shalashudis, and it's hot in the summertime, and if you're not going to put the milk back in the refrigerator now, the milk is going to get spoiled. So that's not Hachana. That's not Hachana. I want to preserve the milk that it shouldn't get ruined. But over here, this is considered Hachana, because if I let the flesh become over flesh, you can broil it. You can broil the flesh. Just that you don't want to broil it. It won't become nipsat. It won't become ruined. Just you won't be able to salt it and cook it later on. You'll only be able to broil it. There was a period of time during the Second World War when I was a little baby, when all of the trucks that were available, many of the trucks that were available in the United States, were needed for the war effort to transport soldiers or to transport the military weapons and so on, and they didn't have enough trucks to deliver the flesh. So there was a period of time that all the flesh, where we lived in Pennsylvania, all the flesh was over flesh. So my father was the rav in the town, so he had to put up a sign in the butcher shop: no one can salt the flesh. Everybody has to broil the flesh, and then you can't reheat it. Then you have to eat it broiled. So we ate broiled. We ate broiled steaks all the time. Yeah. Okay. We got used to eating broiled flesh. If you salt the meat and you remove all the dam that you have to, then you can even cook it in a pot with liquid. But if it's over flesh, and then the goyim have the chumrah that salting will not succeed in removing all the blood, so you have to dafke broil it. So normally when you broil flesh, that's within 72 hours after you finish broiling it. Then if you want, you can cook it in a pot with liquid. But this flesh, if you broiled it after it already became over flesh, then you can't cook it later on, because we assume that not all the dam will go out. Whatever dam will go out, will go out. Whatever dam remains behind is dam yivarm shelo pirish. But if you're going to cook it now, it'll become dam yivarm shelo pirish. That says in Yeridei, if the flesh was over flesh and you broil it, then you can't cook it later on. There's only two minhagim. What if the whole chumr is a goyim is a chumr? The two minhagim, what about liver? What about liver? Let's say you had liver that was over. They didn't, you can't salt the liver, so you have to broil the liver. So what if they didn't broil the liver within 3 days and they didn't freeze it? If the liver was frozen in the freezer, so there's no issue of the over flesh. So let's say the liver was not in the freezer, and they broiled the liver after 3 days. So if you broil the liver within the first 3 days after the shechita, then if you want, you can chop it up and heat it and reheat it. There's no chashash. The extra dam is going to go out and going to come back in. We assume that you broiled it within 3 days, so all the dam went out. Whatever dam remained behind is moel abasa. But what if the liver was broiled after 3 days? So do you still have that chumras hagoyim that you can't reheat the liver after having broiled it? Or maybe no. So that's a machlekes hachrayim. So some hold that this chumra, that if it's over and you broiled it, you can't reheat it later, because the dam that's left behind will come out and go back in. That's only by flesh, not by liver, because the liver is cooler dam, and we're more mekel. So that so on broyers used to have every year in their mitteilung, in their annual journal, so they would put in an announcement that if you purchase livers by the butcher that were more than 3 days after the shechita and you broil them, then you can't reheat them. So Rabbi Tendler every year would announce that broyers has a mistake, that's not right, we don't pass them like that. And you look in the Yeridei, the different minhagim on the side. Rabbi Yenis and Abishta says one, and the others say the other way. That's by liver that's over. Liver that wasn't broiled within 3 days. So those are two minhagim, whether the chumras hagoyim applies there also, that you shouldn't reheat it after broiling it. But by regular flesh, other than liver, that says in Yeridei, that if it's more than 72 hours since the shechita, and you broiled it, then you shouldn't reheat it later.
I don't understand. Why do you put on regular flesh of a liver?
Because the liver is kula dam. So Tesis claims, Tesis quotes Rabbi Natan, kula dam, so the dam of the kovid is mutter. You can squeeze out the kovid menator and drink the blood the way it is. But it's only Xerot, that was the Tesis we had by kovid here, on Kuf Yudim and Beis. So by dam of the kovid, there's more room to be makel. So that's where Rabbi Tendler was following those achrayim, and he thought that Breuer's made a mistake, that the Chumrah and the Shulchan Aruch does not apply to liver. And others say it does apply to liver. The two min hagim and yeri day.
Why should broiling be less than salt?
I don't know. That's what the Gaonim claim. They claim to salt the meat to succeed in getting out all the dam is only if it's within 3 days. After 3 days, it's not going to work. But to broil it, that'll work even after 3 days. But it'll work because whatever dam goes out, goes out. Whatever dam does not go out, we can eat because dam ivarm shalab pirish is mutter. That's why. But if you're going to reheat it, you're going to cook it after having broiled it, then the cooking it will cause the dam to come out and then go back in. Then it will become treif. That's the chomer sagayim. That if you wait 3 days, you will not succeed. 3 days after the shechita, you will not succeed. Not by salting and not by broiling to remove all of the dam. So that's the gemara. Then when before you salt the flesh, you have to first have hadachah rishayna for the two reasons. Then you salt it, and then you have hadachah achrayna. Why do you need hadachah achrayna? Because all of the salt will have absorbed all of the dam, so all of that salt is treif. So you have to wash it off.
What's the shaila if we really think that there may still be dam and gorim? So you broiled it, you salted it, whatever, but if we still think that it might be there, what's the heter to eat it after anything?
So the heter is, because dam ivarm shelo pireish is mutter. To eat a raw piece of meat, even a raw piece of liver that's kula dam, as long as it's lo pireish, it's labeled as moil habosa. But if you're going to cook it, then the dam is going to go out and it's going to go back in. So if you salted it or you broiled it after 3 days, so we assume not all the dam will come out. So if you're salting, it means that you want to cook it later on. So it does tignish, the extra dam will come out, go back in. But by broiling, if you broil it, you eat it the way it is. So whatever dam didn't come out, didn't come out. So that's dam evarm, shalom pirish. That's what we assume. Then our practice is that we use coarse salt for salting the flesh. We don't use regular granulated salt. So that's based on our pshat in the next Gemara. Gemara says, Rav Dimi min ardo malach lo b'milcha glal nisa. He used to use coarse salt, kosher salt, big chunks of salt. Then he used to shake off all of the salt afterwards because the salt absorbed all the dam and it's right. So why did he use coarse salt? So Rashi, where's the Rashi? Rashi doesn't seem to learn the way we learned. Milcha glal nisa, umenapitzle le milcha, if he would have used granulated salt, so we say no. He says this Amora Rav Dimi min Ador is telling us you must use coarse salt. You have to use kosher salt. You can't use granulated salt. Granulated salt will get absorbed into the flesh. You have to have chunks of salt which will not get absorbed. Rashi doesn't learn like that. Rashi writes Avol Melech Daka in Tzorch Lenapich Ini Teches Me'atzma. Rashi says you can salt flesh with granulated salt. You don't need dafka kosher salt. Yeah. And you have a cooler. If you use granulated salt, you don't have to shake it all off afterwards. It'll get dissolved. It's going to go away by itself. We don't paskan like the Rashi. We learn like the other Rishonim, that milcha glal nisa means that the salt will only succeed in removing all the dam if it's coarse salt. If it's not coarse salt, then not going to work. Okay. We'll stop here. The end of Parshas Chukas, the Torah tells about the travels of Bnei Yisrael in the Midbar. They got involved in different melchamas, so it's a ketan. So one of the psukim says, "Alken Yoav b'Misefer Melchamas Hashem Es Vehe B'Sufa Ves Hanachol and Arnon," about different things that were going on. So the Poshe Pshat in the Pasuk, it's speaking about the different melchamas that they had in the Midbar with the Umas Ha'olam. The Om Solom were trying to kill the Jewish people, and we had different nisim. We were nitzel from different possibilities of Melchamas without even realizing what was going on. The Gemara has a whole aricha. So the Gemara has an additional level of interpretation. Hakein Yom is say from Melchamas Hashem that there's a concept of Melchamta Shel Torah that you learn when you argue out the topic, so it'll be nizbara better. And you can't have such derech eretz for the Rebbe. The Gemara says, "Ha'ov v'benoi," if they're learning together, the father and the son, "Harav v'talmida," the Rebbe and the Talmud, "b'shor shalomdim," when they're learning together, "nasim ka'ovim zelazeh," they become like enemies. And the Talmud has to be a little fresh. He has to be a little disrespectful to the Rebbe. He has to ask kashas. And then the pasuk continues, "Alkei b'seif mechamas Hashem, esvahei b'sufa." So the Gemara understands b'sufa, b'seifa. After you finish learning, this is not pasuk pshat in the pasuk. This is an additional level of interpretation. So b'sof, after they finish fighting it out, then you have to have esvahei. You have to have the ahava has to come back, and the talmid has to have the respect for the rebbe, and the son has to have respect for the father. So this is some achrenim right. The Gemara says that women are potter from talmid Torah. So the Gemara learns it after the pasuk. Amarta masan zbenecha v'lo b'nasech. So the Torah Tamima quotes some achrenim say the reason why women are potter. Women are mechuyev to learn kitzur shulchan aruch. They should know the dinim. Shabbos and kashrus and taras hamishpacha. They have to know the dinim, but they don't have to learn the whole tupel the way the boys learn in the yeshivas. So some achrenim say because you don't draft women into the army because it's not it'll be in violation of their feminine style. That women should be engaged in Muhammad. The Gemara says on the first daf in Kiddushin. You don't have women drafted into the army. So that's why you don't want to have women learning Gemara, because they become like men. They're going to become like Mechamta Shalter. They have in the official biography of the Chasam Sofer that was written by his grandson, Chasam Sofer's second wife was the daughter of Rabbi Akiva Eger. The first wife died, and then the second wife died, he married a third wife. So he was a year younger than Rabbi Akiva Eger. And he died at the same age. He died a year after Rebbe Kibeng. They lived to the same age, and he was 1 year younger than his father-in-law. So there's a sefer called Chut HaMeshulash that has the biographies of the three generations, Rebbe Akiva Eger, and the biography of the Chasam Sofer, and then the biography of his son, the Chasam Sofer, the son who took over the Rabbanus in Presburg. That was the Ksav Sofer. And then he had other sons. So one of the sons of the Ksav Sofer wrote this as his official biography. So he relates this story when the Chasam Sofer was a young bacher, a bar mitzvah bacher. So he said his own pshetel. So he said a shtikel Torah, and he quoted something from the Elta Zeta, from a sefer on the Zikin that's called Kosos Yeshuas. There's a sefer Kosos Yeshuas and a sefer Kosos Yeshuas. So once in a long while they have printed on the side of the Gemara Baba Kama to look in the sefer Kosos Yeshuas. I think that's a different one. His Elta Zeta was Kosos Yeshuas. I never saw the sefer. So as a bar mitzvah child, Chasam Sofer's father was a frumah balabas, but he wasn't into learning, so his father didn't prepare the pshetel. So the bacher prepared his own shtikel Torah. So he quoted something from Elta Zeta, and he explained why he thinks it's incorrect, and he gave his own pshat in the Gemara. So the father thought that it was a chutzpah. How does his son have the chutzpah to disagree with Elta Zeta? So he slapped him in public. So the Rebbe was there, Rav Nosson Adler. So he walked over to the father and said, "Why did you slap him? The kid was right." So he told the Chasam Sofer, as a child, he should leave his father's home. Very strange. At the age of 13, he should leave his father's home and he should move in by him and learn by him. He says, "You're going to learn at your father's home. You're going to ask a kashan rashi, a kashan tesi. Your father's going to slap you and say, 'You're not bikurus. You're not allowed to ask any kasha.' That's how you advance in learning. You have to have chutzpah, you have to have a gaiva a little bit." So the Babaji would call it gaiva de kedusha. There's gaiva and there's gaiva de kedusha. Vayikba liba b'darchei Hashem, the pasuk says, liba yavah. You have to have guy with the kedusha sometimes. You have to have a little chutzpah to ask kasha. So he said he has to leave his father's home. Kachi darka shel Torah. That's how you have to learn. There is when they write over the story of the Hatzolah of the Miri Yeshiva, so they include a chapter from there was a Polish non-Jew who was traveling on the train when they went on the transcontinental train to Vladivostok. Then they went on to Japan. So they were going. Also, it was not a chartered train. So one of the goyim wrote his memoirs in Polish, and then they translated it later into English, into Hebrew, that chapter. So he writes when he was traveling with the Jewish people, it was obvious that they were Jewish, so they were learning from these big books. They were learning from Gemara. So the goy didn't understand what Gemara says. When they had the big books were open and they were discussing, they were so abusive, they were so screaming at each other. Poyer, idiot, farmer, you don't know what you're talking about. And then the minute they would close the big books, they would be the best of friends. So he says, he doesn't understand, what is it that they get along, they don't get along. That's mamish exactly what it says in the Gemara. When the harav, the talmida, ha'ov v'bno, when they're learning, nasim ka'ovim zel lezeh, that's the seifam l'chamas Hashem. Ken yovim seifam l'chamas Hashem. And then, after they close the big books, that's esvahei b'sufa, v'b'sufa, after they finish learning. That's mechamta shofer, that's the way it's supposed to be. Nothing wrong with it. Isn't Eretz Yisrael a different derech aliyah?